until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haiti.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
Reagan sets his 0-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. McCann strikes out on a breaking ball that he chases down. First pitch. He swings, laces it into left field. A base hit for Bobby Witt. Garcia jogs in from third and scores. And the Royals strike first in game one. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And the Royals take game one. 1-0.
It's baseball. The postseason usually is one with one big swing. Today it was only one swing in the entire game that meant anything. So we got to come out and regroup and face another tough arm tomorrow.
We didn't have many opportunities, but because Reagan's was really good, and then the bullpen guys did a nice job. We had a couple punch outs there, first and third, that hurt. You got to give them credit. I think everybody understands the position we're in, and we need to win tomorrow. I don't think it's a team meeting rallying cry. I think everybody fully understands what the situation is.
Highlights courtesy of ESPN Radio. Then you heard from Corbin Burnes and you heard from Brandon Hyde. Corbin Burnes became the first pitcher to pitch into the ninth inning, give up only one run, and lose since Johnny Cueto in 2016. The Orioles lose to the Royals 1-0 yesterday. Bobby Witt with the RBI base hit in the sixth. The difference. Corbin Burnes was great. He did walk the nine hitter in the sixth, who came around to score, but I'm not going to complain about Corbin Burnes. He was fantastic yesterday.
Yep.
But this, Vinny, this has been the story of the Orioles on and off since the All-Star break, or maybe a little before. They don't hit. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. They don't score a lot unless they hit home runs. And yesterday, it was a lot of the same old story. They had the opportunities early. Mullins with the leadoff double. Yep. McCann strikes out. I think I'm even in the third inning, I'm bunting James McCann in a playoff game to try to steal a run early. They don't do that. Cedric Mullins had the one out. Ramon Urias had the one out double. Mullins follows with the single. That's in the fifth. Sitting in the press box. Urias got a horrible read on that. If he sees that it's going to drop, he scores easily. Instead, he's at third base. McCann strikes out. I would have bunted him again, even if it's just to bunt Mullins over and have second and third. But he strikes out, and then Gunnar Henderson strikes out. And when you look, Vinny, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to dominate this whole thing, but
no,
Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, and Anthony Santander, they went 0-for-11 in that game yesterday.
Reagan's was... I mean, Ken, he was spectacular. Listen, because Big Ben was on the broadcast,
yes,
which is awesome because he knows the team so well. And Reagan's was unbelievable. I mean, like the inside strike. And they were even saying, you know, the Orioles need to back up a little bit because they're throwing the inside strike, and the Orioles couldn't get it at all. But I agree with you, especially because McCann, he didn't touch the ball yet.
No. That second at bat was embarrassing. He struck out on three pitches. I don't think any of them were strikes.
Yeah.
That's first and third, one out. That's your best scoring opportunity of the game. He's up. He swings at three pitches. I don't know that any of them were strikes.
Yeah. And Norm, Norm was at the game too. Yeah. Norm, what do you think? He was running hot also.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't score in a playoff game. It just can't happen. You wasted, for me, as a 28-year-old guy, one of the best, maybe the best pitching performance I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Eight innings of
that
one
was Messina-esque in the playoffs.
Right.
I was there for 96 and 97. That was Messina-esque.
And given the stage, given the weight of the game, and the fact that he was only at 84 when he left, he could have, in theory, pitched a complete game.
Mm-hmm.
Just mind-boggling.
Is this you running hot? Because I don't know you as well as they do. Ken Wyman sitting in for Bob Haney. We have a special schedule because we had the game
at
4.
He gets hot at the Orioles stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you should have heard me on the car ride home last
night. Yeah.
I've had too much time to relax.
You relax.
A little bit, yeah.
Like watching it, Vinny, it's so frustrating. And I think the only thing that prevents me from getting to run hot is I've watched this movie now for about 60 games.
Yeah, no
doubt.
Like,
this is who they are. This is their DNA. I was hoping that once they got to the playoffs and they got some of their guys back, that maybe we'd see a different Oriole team. But this is who they are. They got one guy in that lineup that's got any kind of clutch gene, and that's Jordan Westberg. And he got the key hit late, but it got Gunner to second. I was screaming, and I know Reagan's is a lefty, or they might have the first bullpen arm. It was also
a
lefty on the
mound.
Yeah, and I'm like, Gunner's got to get second base because he's got to score on base hit. He didn't. Westberg gets the base hit. He goes to second, and then nothing after that.
Yeah, a couple things that bothered me was, you know, after Burns walked a guy and he steals second, McCann is trying to throw out the runner from his butt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? You know, you're a catcher. Get up and throw the damn ball. That was one. And then the other thing, and I told Nolan this when we were sitting back there. I said, bottom line in that game was their star made a two-out hit,
yep.
And our star struck out.
Yeah.
Because if Gunner gets a single there, got a man on second, they score. Witt gets up with a man on second, and he gets a hit, and they score. So, I mean, that was the big difference in the game. And then, Ken, number one, I would have kept Burns in the game.
I didn't. That wasn't. Yeah, you could have. I didn't have a huge problem with that at that point.
As soon as he got the single, oh, Hyder's getting him.
He was fantastic yesterday.
But the thing, you know what? And Big Ben made a good point, and you guys didn't get a chance to hear. He said the reason he brought in the lefty, because you got a guy on first, and he's better at holding the runner.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, keep him from stealing second.
That was the reason. And if that was the case, I got no problem with that. And then, Ken, the other thing what I'm thinking is, you know, when they pinched hit Urias and brought in Kerstad, I'm saying, no, Holiday's been on base five times in a row the last time, and he's more of a clutch dude, and it's a right-handed pitcher.
Here, I take it, and you make a good point, but I go, why isn't Holiday pinch running for Hearn in the ninth inning? Because you can move Santander to first base if you somehow only score one. You got to steal second base, and O'Hearn's at first. Why isn't Jackson Holiday on first base trying to steal second base? I'm not blaming this game on Brandon Hyde, but there are two things that bothered me about yesterday, and that was the first two McCann at bats on bunting both times, and Jackson Holiday not pinch running for Ryan O'Hearn in the ninth inning.
See, I thought that Holiday pinch hitting, he grows up in those kind of moments. Mm-hmm. You know, like his first time coming back, he hits the home run. I mean, those are kind of moments he lives for. And, you know, Ken, the last time he played, he had three hits and two walks.
Yeah. So,
and it was a right-handed pitcher. You know, and Kerstad, to me, he's never been in that type of atmosphere.
He's trying. What he's hoping there is he runs into one. And he got one, and he hit it straight. He got one fastball, hit it straight back to the screen, just missed it. And then after that, he didn't come close.
Right.
So, like, it's just a very frustrating. By the way, they also had bad luck, as in the third inning after Mullins' double, with two outs, Westbrook hit a ball that's out of probably 20 parks, but he hit it to left at Camden Yards, and it's to the wall. So, they don't even get good luck in these situations.
And then Mullins was...
Mullins thought... Now, I had just...
He thought it was a homer the way he looked.
And I had run to the restroom. I come out, and there were people in the press box saying that Mullins should be on third base, but he was pimping the home run. So I don't know. I did not see it.
Yeah. Did you see that, Norm? I mean, he thought it was a homer. He didn't take off hauling ass.
Yeah. Which you have to. I mean, in a playoff game, all right, so what? You're running around the bases, and it's a home run, and you get back to home plate too fast. Nobody's going to be mad at you for that. Hustle out the box.
Yeah, it's a very frustrating day. A lot of electricity at the yard, though there were empty seats. Like, the left field upper deck had a whole swatch empty
seats. Norm got a ticket for $28.
Look at you, Norm.
Might get cheaper than that today.
Yeah, we'll it's do or die now.
Well, I think they're gonna do today. I just think that they're gonna get some hits today. Although he's been good, 1.08 ERA in September? But, I mean, he was spectacular.
Also, I want to remind the people, the Orioles have not won a playoff game since Game 3 in Detroit, the ALDS, Nelson Cruz opposite field home run. I think Bud Norris started that game. Remember, they got swept by the Royals in the 2014 ALCS and lost a wild card game in Toronto. Like, they've lost nine straight playoff games now.
Oof. Yeah. Not good. And you know what? It takes just one.
Yep.
Once you get one, then it's easy.
And I want to see these guys, and maybe they need to hire a third and a fourth hitting coach to get this done, because they have all these hitting coaches, but everybody's trying to hit a five-run home run. Like, just go with the ball. Try to play some small ball. That's what wins in the playoffs. I'd like to see, and maybe it's too late, maybe it's the offseason. Oh, and I'll mention one more thing that I was banging the drum on all season. I always feel, and I'm a guy that's watched baseball my whole life, and I love baseball, you can't win with all young guys. And I was screaming in the offseason they needed a hitter that had been there before. I was pounding the drum for J.D. Martinez. By the way, J.D. Martinez had a two-run single for the Mets yesterday. Shocker. But going with all young guys, going with a group of guys that have no playoff experience, I think is a bite you in the butt eventually. And I hope I'm wrong, but it seems they're getting close to getting butt bitten here.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that was Bobby Witt's first playoff.
Sure, but they have Salvi Perez on that roster, who has won a World Series. Like, there's a dude on that team that has been there and done that before. There's leadership in that clubhouse. Tell me who the leader is on the Orioles.
You're in a clubhouse. I've never been in a clubhouse.
No, that's one of their biggest problems.
Yeah. Who's the leader?
They don't have a clear-cut one.
Salvi Perez may go to the Hall of Fame one day. Like, that guy, he's a dude, and he won a World Series. He went to back-to-back World Series with the Royals. He's a guy that is clutch. There's a guy that everybody in that locker room can go to. Who are they leaning on in the Orioles clubhouse?
Yeah, I don't know.
The problem is that they have probably five candidates that could be that guy, but nobody's stepping up and doing it.
Well, you know, and I think it's on the front office, not on the team. They needed to put a guy in that clubhouse so that those young guys can learn from, not like have a guy step up. Like Cal Ripken in 1982-83, he won the MVP, but that was Eddie Murray's team. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have that guy.
Sure.
They don't have him.
Yeah.
And my headphones are broken.
This has got to be Adley or Gunnar's team, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is their era. They're the guys.
The only thing, though, with Adley right now, I mean, over the last, you know, he's batting 180 or whatever he's batting. And
hits everything soft.
Yeah, he's, you know, your leader type guy. At least, you know, you may have a different leader down the stretch than you did during the regular season because, you know what, you want to look at somebody like, who's going to be that guy? You know, I mean, Bobby Witt does.
Yeah.
You know, Gunnar's got it. That's Gunnar's next step.
Yep.
Is, you know, playoff, you know, just like they said with Lamar.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
The exact same thing. They're saying with Lamar, show me in the playoffs, Gunnar. You do great during the regular season, but show me in the playoffs.
We have a huge but quick show. We're here till noon, and then we send it down to Pickles. It's Tim Barbalace, Jason Locken for Jim Hunter from noon to 2. And then the Baltimore Baseball Tonight Extravaganza, Bob Haney, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken from 2 to 4 leading up to ESPN Radio's coverage of Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. But coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057, your thoughts. What did you see yesterday? Who's to blame? We'll find out next here on The Fan. From noon to 2, Vinny, it's Tim Barbalace, Jason Lockenford, Jim Hunter. And then following them, it's Bob Haney. It's Mike Bordick. It's Ryan Ripken. It's Baltimore baseball tonight. So a full day getting you ready for Orioles baseball, and hopefully not for the last time.
And today's game is a half hour later?
Yeah. I don't know why.
TV, I guess.
But what's the difference between a Tuesday and a Wednesday? I don't know, but it's now tomorrow's game, if there is a game tomorrow, depends on what happens in the three other games. So if all four series go to game three, they play at 4:00. They could play at 2, they could play at 3, they could play at 7. So we just have to, but we won't know until the end of today.
Oh, like if the Padres sweep.
Yes, correct. So
the night spot open.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But you want to grab some calls? Let's try hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Paul's in Annapolis. Paul, you're on The Fan.
Oh, I'm actually in Ellicott City.
Oh, but, okay.
Hey, listen, I listen to you guys all the time. I enjoy listening to you all. The last thing you asked was who is to blame for yesterday's loss. I actually think it's the players. They're trying to hit home runs instead of just relaxing. They're too nervous, and I'm afraid today they're going to be too nervous. I hope I'm wrong. But the other thing is, I don't think Hyde is at fault. I think the opposing pitcher is at fault for pitching such a good game. I mean, our guy pitched a good game, too, a great game.
And their bullpen
their
was fabulous,
was
too.
Their guy was just a little bit better. And, you know, sometimes you just have to say, you know, tip your hat to that guy. Now, one other thing. You guys are saying that Hyde should have called for a bunt. I think there was just as good a chance that McCann would hit a fly ball and we would get a sack fly.
But he hadn't been close to the ball.
I'll say this. Maybe you say, in hindsight, I have hindsight on my side, and I appreciate the call. He saw three pitches. None of them were strikes. He swung at all of them. I'm sitting there in real time, sitting next to Cordell in the press box. I'm like, I'm bunting here. I'm bunting here, especially after what I saw in the first at bat where I would have bunted and he swung at ball four and struck out. I'm bunting here, but he did not. Let's grab Rob in Ellicott City. Maybe he's in Annapolis and this is confusing.
Maybe he's not a good bunter.
Robert, where are you?
I'm in Ellicott City, and that was the worst call I've heard in a long time. I am so angry at Brandon Hyde for the second year. Brandon Hyde did his job. He righted the ship when this team was terrible. He got us to be respectable, got us to the playoffs. You stole all my thunder about all the terrible decisions. I understand that Ali Rutschman is floundering at the plate, but come on. Are we really hoping that McCain is going to be the guy that's going to come through in the clutch? And when he's the only opportunity, you have to bunt him there.
Yep.
It's not debatable. Not only that, we get – who is the best player? Who is arguably the best player in the American League? Bobby Witt, right?
Uh-huh.
Take the bat out of his hands, put him on first base, and try your luck at getting a double play. Then you get O'Hearn.
Oh, there's two outs. You don't need – there's two outs. You don't need a double play.
Yeah, sorry. So you don't even need a double play.
Yeah.
Then in the ninth, O'Hearn walks. You leave him in for what reason? Bring Holiday off the bench
I
to
said
run.
That.
This is basic stuff. I am beyond livid. Now, do our players have any approach at the plate? Obviously not.
It's all the hitting coaches.
It falls in the dirt. Hmm. I mean, it's the coaches, it's the players, it's everyone. But for God's sake, somebody call this guy to task because Brandon Hyde is miserable. Miserable. This is basic, basic baseball.
Thank Appreciate you. The call.
Now, Ken, he said that.
I told you, they should have pinch run Holiday there in the ninth inning.
Right. But at the Bobby Witt one, he said that he asked. When did he talk? Because it was how did he ask Burns who he wanted to pitch to?
Maybe he got a hold of the PitchCom machine and then talked to him in his ear. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
because
here's the thing.
He said he left it up to Burns.
I agree with the decision. I think in Hyde's mind, if he puts Witt on first base, he steals second. Now you got second and third.
No, there's a guy on first and second.
No. At that point, there's just a guy on third base. The previous batter hit that hot shot that Westberg made the nice play on, threw him out of first base. The runner moved to third. So you got a man on third, two outs. If you walk Witt, he probably thinks now he's stealing second. Now you got second and third at base. It scores two. But to his point, I'm trusting Corbin Burns to get that out.
Right, but the other thing about it is the way you could look at it is Vinny, whatever is...
Pasquantino.
I mean, he just came back, and he wasn't really hitting the ball hard.
No, he was not.
So, I mean, and Witt had just scored your run. I mean, I could understand either way.
Yeah. Let's grab Harry and Owings Mills. Harry, you're on the fan.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. The last caller was right. It is Brandon Hyde's fault, and you all make a lot of great points. I want to make two. The first thing is the only reason why James McCann is on the playoff roster is in case of emergency, break glass. He does not start. He does not play unless you have to. The other thing was that this is the fifth time this season Corbin Burns has gone at least six innings, giving up two runs or less, and he did not get a win.
Well, remember, we talked about this and appreciate the call. Early in the season, he would pitch six innings and not get wins because the team wasn't scoring any runs. Like they weren't. One of the conversations in the first half of the season was Corbin Burns not getting run support.
Yeah. I think McCann was in there, number one, because Rutschman hadn't been hitting.
Yeah, and it's
then
a lefty.
Number two was that Burns is not great at holding runners.
Yeah.
Although he's gotten better, he's not good at holding runners.
Yeah, there's three things at play there. It's a lefty on the mound, so that McCann had been hitting of late. Burns doesn't hold runners, and McCann's better defensively.
Yeah.
Like Rutschman has been a colossal disappointment when you think about it. The fact that he was supposed to be this great defensive catcher and this great hitter, and right now he's neither.
Nor, what do you think, man? Because I agree.
It's been multiple months here. I mean, it's
been an awful season.
Right. The question is this going to be like what Cedric Mullins was in the second half of last year and then spilling over to the first half of this year? Or is this truly who he is? Is this just the only slump he's going to experience?
I think he's hurt.
You have the injury factor. There's a lot at play here. And with a player of his caliber, his status, I'm not jumping to conclusions.
Vinny, let's take more calls coming up at 10:45 because we got to get to the film room. And coming up next, we want to do the offense first, defense first. I'm new to this.
Both are good. You know, let's do the offense first.
All right. We're going to Vinny's film room, taking a look at the offense. Ravens getting ready. They're back on the practice field today as they get ready for the Bengals. We go to the film room next here on the Fan.
breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to enter the film room. Ravens sit at 2-2. Statement win over the Bills Sunday, but they'll begin turning the page today. So shall we. Ravens will be on the practice field later this afternoon. But Vinny, looking at the film as we head to Sunday.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Looking at the film, and because of the results they had, Ken. Looking at the film, it was pretty good. Pretty good tape. I mean, the O-line coach, George Warhop, I think, is doing a really nice job. The new O-line coach who took over for Joe D after he passed. But Falele is getting better. I mean, he is getting better. He's staying on his feet better. Like his down blocks, and he's finally using his hands to punch, which he would always catch. And you got 36-inch arms, use them. And he's doing it. And thought Rosengarten, for his first time, thought it was good. The thing that he does is, in his pass sets, he gets too high. And then when you get too high, you get driven back.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that he has right now. He needs a year in a weight room to get some ass and some thighs.
Yeah.
That's what he just needs to get bigger.
Me too.
Gets bigger and stronger in the lower body. Yeah. But Ronnie Stanley's playing really good. Really good.
Isn't it amazing? Like, I did not see, I knew this was the last chance saloon for Ronnie. Like, they gave him that big haircut, and you're like, we put up with a lot last year. I don't know if that's going to happen again. He's playing elite left tackle.
Last year, he was worse than awful.
Yeah.
He was really bad. You know, and then McCary doing a nice job at the left guard. We need Voorhees to get back there. Not that Voorhees is great, but I just, if they keep playing McCary, I think he's going to end up getting hurt.
That's the problem.
Then you lose your best six-man guy. So, you know, if he goes down, you lose a lot.
And I think we touched on this a little yesterday, Vinny. They know that, too. So that, like, they want him off his I think they'd like to get him off his feet for a little bit.
Yes. Yes. Because he's got a bad back. So he can't squat and do the, you know, so there's some types of lifts that he can't do to develop himself in a lower body. Now, the I thought the play calling, I thought Todd Monken did a hell of a job calling plays. I mean, you know, the first play, they go 87 yards off right tackle. Then the next one, you know, they get the pass out to hit
Justice Hill. Hill. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that impresses me is like, because I heard Belichick talk, Ken, you probably did too, because he says, you got to follow Ricard.
Yeah.
He'll take you to the ball. I mean, what they were doing was they were running left, and then, like, Ricard would end up going right. So they were giving false keys and stuff. So I thought it was a really, really good plan. And I thought when he had to, Lamar threw the ball. Mm-hmm. And I thought he threw it well.
Me too.
Other than probably the one that could have been an interception to Aguilar.
Yeah, he makes the one-handed play, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I thought Lamar threw the ball well. I thought his reads were pretty good. Some of the stuff, watching the film, like on the run pass or the run or option type stuff, so keep or not keep for Lamar, you know, there was sometimes, and I don't know if it was, you know, because if the end comes down on the running back, Lamar should keep it. There was a couple times he should have kept it, and he probably just figures, hell, he's hammered him in there. I'll just keep giving it to him. But and the tight, you know, like with Cole, they still, I mean, Ken, if they had like a really good blocking tight end, that would benefit him so much. Because, you know, Kolar does a nice job shielding and stuff, but he can't knock people off the ball. He doesn't play strong like that. And the tight ends, they did a nice job on the perimeter.
Yeah, I thought Andrews did a nice job.
On the perimeter, yeah. And likely did, other than one time, he did a nice job on the perimeter. It seems like Aguilar played a lot in that game, Kent. I think he's a better blocker than Bateman. That's what I'm guessing.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, but overall, offensively, you know, the receivers, I mean, if I'm a receiver, I'm like, yeah, damn. You know, I do like to run routes.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get to run a bunch. And a lot of them, you know, like if it's a run or a draw play, Ken, and they're playing man coverage, you know what my blocking is run your guy deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just run him deep. And, you know, I mean, that's what they were doing a lot of. Or it looked like Zay Flowers was doing a lot of clearing out. and then guys coming up underneath. So, but offensively, I thought it was a really, really good performance. And I think that Rosengarten is going to stay from now on. I mean, that's his to lose.
Yeah. And if as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah. And he is super athletic.
Yeah.
Super athletic. I mean, they've got a bunch of, you know, because Makari's real athletic, too. Yeah. But so is Voorhees.
Yeah.
And Linderbaum's real athletic. Linderbaum's real athletic.
I'm curious because just watching it and then watching some clips on Twitter afterwards, the way Linderbaum gets to the next level, it's really impressive. Like on the film, does that show up all the time?
Yeah. The thing that shows up, you know, like his what he struggles with because he's not a big man. He struggles with big people.
Yeah.
So
he's a leverage guy.
Yes. And if a big guy gets on his shoulder, then he's going to get to the quarterback, and that happened once or twice. But, yeah, he's a good second-level guy. Falele's not a great second-level guy. But the thing with those guys were so light, their linebackers, that if Falele just gets a push, you know, I mean, he's 380 pushing 230. Yeah. So he gets them knocked off. But I thought that Ricard, you know, did a nice job in there too. So offensively, I mean, you can't complain, and I think they're finding out what they do well, and right now they're running the ball well, and with the Bengals, they'll have opportunities to do the same thing. I'm going to watch the Bengal film this afternoon. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but I think they're going to be able to run the ball. Plus, with the Bengals cannot rush the passer,
no.
So Lamar's going to have time to throw too, so that may be a good game for the receivers to come back to the party.
It is Vinny and Haney here on a Wednesday. We're here till noon. Following us, it's Tim Barbalace, Jason Lockett, for Jim Hunter live at Pickles. And then following them at 2 o'clock, it is the Baltimore Baseball Tonight Extravaganza. It is Bob Haney, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, 2 to 4. Following that, it's ESPN Radio's coverage of Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. Hopefully there will be a Game 3 tomorrow. We will be able to tell you what the schedule is. We got to wait to see what happens with the other games, but we will let you know. And if there is a Game 3, we'll have it right here on 105.7 The Fan. We're taking your calls. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts. Who's to blame yesterday? We'll get your thoughts next here on The Fan. And let's hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Let's get things started with Trippy. Trippy, you're on The Fan. Trippy?
Trip.
No, Trippy. Let's go to William. William, you're on The Fan.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm gonna vent, and then I'm gonna hang up and listen to you guys' response. First of all, Brandon Hyde, so ridiculous to not have O'Hearn in that starting lineup, because you'll have a better chance with a left-handed hitter hitting to right field.
He can't hit lefties. He can't hit lefties, and Reagan's a great lefty.
Yes.
That's why he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, Mountcastle is a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
Yes, but anyway, I think that Brandon Hyde need to look at this lineup, and they need to get a pinch-hitting deluxe person, a veteran pinch-hitter deluxe, like a Kurt Moten, Delmon Young, a guy like that, because that's what we need. Now, we look at the bench. There's nobody on the bench but 210 hitters to come up. And I'm going to listen to you guys' response.
Appreciate the call. Well, they're not going to find one of those guys now. I think they need to find a legitimate hitter, like an outfielder or a DH who plays every day and is not an Adam Frazier type, Vinny. A guy that's a real player that has been there, done that, to be a guy that these young guys can lean on. I've been saying for a long time, you can't win all young.
Yeah, and, well, the biggest thing is they just need somebody to get a hit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just anybody. You know, I mean, Santander, you know.
Swinging at ball four.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, there's so many frustrating things watching it because they're so close. I mean, if you're Hyder, you know, you're saying, if we just said before the game, Corbin Burns is going into the ninth inning and giving up one run.
I'm saying, how much do the Orioles win by?
Right.
Like, it's a 9-1 game. Like, that's if Corbin Burns is pitching in the ninth inning and he's giving up one run, I'm like, how many runs do the Orioles win by? This is a game where me and Nolan, we're relaxing at Camden Yards. We're enjoying ourselves. It's a party because it's a blowout.
If they lose this series, you're going to look back at this one and say, we gave that one. You know, I mean, they stole that one from us.
They had the better starter. Like, the Orioles had the scoring opportunities early in the game, didn't take advantage of it. And again, you might not get this reference, Vinny. Do you remember when MTV used to actually have real programming, and they did this for a little bit? They did these things called Rock and Jock Softball and Rock and Jock Basketball, where they had, like, athletes and celebrities playing in these tournaments. And the softball game, they had a thing called the 8-ball. And if you asked for the 8-ball and you hit a home run with it, it was an 8-run home run. That's what the Orioles hitters are up there doing. They're trying to hit 8-run home runs. And like, I'd rather they just go with the pitch, hit a base hit to the opposite field, move the chains.
Well, you know what the thing about it, Ken, was Kansas City had one opportunity to score, basically.
And they got it. And that was it.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Let's grab Larry. Larry, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Wanted to know what's going on with when you got a base runner, the glove that he uses. Is there a regulation length that that glove's got
to
be?
No, you're talking about the oven mitt. They're allowed to wear that to protect their hand. Yeah, and there is no regulation.
It looked like his was 2 foot long when he came sliding in the second base.
Yeah. You know? Now, appreciate the call. A lot of those guys wear that, and it is a good question. Like, does baseball look at that in the offseason and say, wait a second, if you have that extra length on the oven mitt, you can get to the bag quicker. We got to curtail that a little bit.
Yeah. They'll probably, what they do is, okay, what's your hand size? And then, then they have different types of gloves.
Yeah.
You get it for this hand size, you get a medium or a large glove or whatever it is.
Let's grab Brian and Ken Island. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Very disappointing loss. I'll give you the four gaffes that lost us the game. Unfortunately, in playoff baseball, it doesn't take much.
Nope.
And we had basically four mental gaffes. I can forgive the physical stuff. I cannot forgive the mental. Okay, so you have two minor base running mistakes. And I'm going to get all this out. No, I don't want no rebuttal because there really shouldn't be any because I'm right. I'll hang up and then I'll listen to your comment.
My opinions are facts.
Mullins, that's exactly right. Mullins Cadillac'd it out of the box on the ball he thought was a home run. He should have been standing on third. That's number one. Urias didn't run hard out of the box. He should have been standing on third on his double. That's number two. Mental base running errors. Number three is the big one and the biggest one of the game, and I don't care if it's the third inning. You have to bunt with McCann, your nine-hitter. That's got to be a bunt.
Yep.
That's a blown game by Hyde.
By the way, Brian, you missed
one. I got one last one. Uh-huh. One last one, okay? And then the last one is maybe you don't pitch to Witt, maybe. And even that one's kind of minor. But the game was blown by our manager. He must be reading from the same playbook as Harbaugh calling back-to-back timeouts.
Appreciate the call. Hey, the one to me that's the biggest, and he didn't mention it, is Ramon on second base. Like, Ramon's slow, so I'm not going to say he should be at third base running hard because he's real slow. But when Mullins hits that base hit to right center, if he gets a good read on that, he scores easily. He scores easily. And I'm sitting there next to Cordell in the press box, and I'm watching that ball drop. And I look at Ramon, and I turn to him and go, what's Ramon doing? Like, that's an RBI. And he's still standing near the bag at second base. That's a bad time to get a horrible read on a fly ball.
Yeah, I agree, Kent. You know what's crazy is, and I don't know why bunting has gone taboo.
Yeah, but do you know what the worst part about it? He's their one good bunter, McCann. McCann's their best bunter.
I mean, when I grew up, Ken, I mean, Rod Carew was the man bunting.
Yeah.
You know, and like we grew up, I mean, we had to, like in Little League Baseball, we had to do the bunt practice. You know, I mean, when you were hitting in the cage, you had to do like four or five bunts to start every time.
You know what happened? Analytics. Analytics tells you that I'd rather hit a home run every six at-bats than a bunt for a single. Because it's more valuable.
Now, let me ask you this, Kent. Is it a different set of analytics when the playoffs come?
It should be. Because, and I was saying that at the time. This is a playoff game. This is a team that struggles to score runs. You try to steal a run and get Mullins over to third base with one out.
Yeah, plus, the dude that's pitching ain't giving up squat.
No. I'll try Trippy one more time. Trippy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, hello. What's going on with y'all, man?
What's up, Tripp?
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I wish these Oreo fans stopped complaining about Hyde. Like, Hyde ain't out there bad. Like, come on now. Like, it's the same thing. Man, Rita always talked about this. Every time Corbin Burns on the mound, it's like the bats go to sleep. And Ken, I think you made it. I think it was Ken or Vinny made a good point. It seemed like the Orioles, I don't know if it was a wild card game or a home run derby. It seemed like all they want to do is go for the power shot. Yep. Like, come on, play small ball. And I felt like McCann should have bunted. But also, Ramon Ramirez or whatever his name is, you know, getting their names mixed up. Like, bro, when Cedric, because you got to understand, like, where I was at, right, I thought that was a home run. So common sense would have told him, all right, it might be a home run, even if it hit on the bat. Just keep running, bro. Just keep running. It's the same thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, Hyde do make some, you know, dumb decisions sometimes, but I can't put that on Hyde, man. Corbin Burns had 50 pitches, right? He had 50-some pitches going into 5 innings. And I just knew he was ready to score them. Boom, it's the same old Orioles. Yeah. There you go. Men on base. Every time. Like, we got to stop that. Then I heard a fan say last night, he was like, hey, Trippy, you notice our 9th straight playoff loss? I'm like, what? So I'm going to go back down to the yard today. Man, hey, I ain't going to lie, Vinny. I might go viral today. I might go viral again, man. Because, like, this guy stopped. If the Orioles lose by the 8th inning, I'm going right down to the home cut. And they gonna hear me. And another thing, hey, Adam, you gotta step up, bro. But you know what? I ain't gonna go too hard on him because Marvin Ken did.
Hey, are you gonna
hurt.
Do like you did Marlon Humphrey at the Ravens?
Oh,
game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all gotta play. I should give it. Talk to you?
Yeah.
Just give me a player.
Adley.
A player. It don't matter.
Adley.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Adley. I'm gonna say, hey, Adley, you out there playing like Rashad Bateman, man. Get it together. But I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry, man. I'm just frustrated, man, because it's like, it's embarrassing, man. Like, we got the Ravens, right? When the whole national world had the Ravens losing to the Bills, we blow them out. Everybody excited. Yeah, the Orioles play Tuesday. We leaving out M&T Bank. Like, yeah, we going to the yard Tuesday. And look, 1-0. Like, Oreo players or family members that listen to the radio station, tell them step up, man.
Yeah.
Trippy,
we got to run. Thanks for the call. Coming up next, a lot of fan frustration in Baltimore. Danielle Allentuck covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. What did she think about what she saw yesterday? She's going to tell us next here on The Fan.